So this is a project, if you'll remember, where the Korean Accounting Standards Board did some work, and you looked at that about a year ago and came to the conclusion that there was no further work to be done on it, but that we wanted to wait for the opportunity for some public input before we removed it from the agenda. And we used the agenda consultation as the vehicle for seeking public input on that. So agenda paper 24E summarises the responses we got. And largely, I'd say the responses don't really give us new information that add to the material the board has already discussed. I wanted to highlight a couple of things where people raised issues that I think weren't discussed in the Korean paper. So that, because that's new information, I'll just pause on those for a couple of seconds. One is mentioned in paragraph 9C3, which is to do with functional currency. And there were some respondents, I think mainly from Japan, who suggested that in certain circumstances people might be able to use the local currency instead of the functional currency, which is normally required in IS 21. We don't think that suggestion is worth pursuing, because really that seems to be saying they disagree with the whole idea of functional currency. I'd really prefer to use the local currency. So we don't think there's anything we should follow up on there. The other issue we wanted to highlight is discussed in paragraphs 10 and 11, and that is an issue that has been discussed by the Interpretations Committee and has also been to the board at one stage last year. But we thought that was worth highlighting as well. So the issue here, it arises really in hyperinflationary countries, and it's to do with the interaction between hyperinflation accounting and foreign currency. And the issue seems to arise particularly where there's an official currency rate, which seems to be somewhat out of line with what you might expect a free market rate to be. And there's a particular issue in one country where this seems to be particularly prominent over the last two or three years. It's been discussed several times. It's where foreign investors seem to find it very difficult to get currency in large quantities out of their subsidiaries in this country. And it causes two problems, I think. The exchange rate issue causes two problems. The first is that their investment in the subsidiary and also the cash balances in the subsidiary and it's also a country where there's hyperinflation, so the exchange rate is also declining quite quickly. And because there are significant delays in repatriating currency, usually there's a large exchange loss by the time they are actually able to repatriate. And economically, they probably think of that as being impaired, but there's no mechanism for impairing a cash balance if you're using the year-end rate. The other issue they have is that because they're in hyperinflation, all the comparatives are being restated at the year-end rate. They're being restated at the current rate in the hyperinflationary currency, and they're then being restated at the year-end rate. And then because the currency is depreciating a lot in sort of hard currency terms, the effect is that the comparatives are being, and also the current year revenue for that matter, are being inflated, if you like, by a factor of perhaps 5 to 10. And one of the companies that's very concerned about this has said to us that they find this very difficult to explain internally, because they have this subsidiary which appears gigantic in the numbers, and they have to tell everybody actually it's not really gigantic, it's because the exchange rate is somewhat unrealistic. The companies that have raised this with us, and it tends to be multinationals, a lot of the Swiss companies have raised it with us because they have operations in this country. And they argue that it's something that they find very difficult to explain to the senior management. They find it very difficult to explain to outside investors. And one of them has described it as something that he views as bringing IFRS into disrepute, because it doesn't seem to accord with most people's intuitions. I think the basic issue here is about the exchange rate, and it's the fact that it's an official rate which seems to be somewhat out of line with what you might expect the market rate to be. And so if we were to do anything, I think the question is, would we be able to find a way of describing some circumstances when you might be able to substitute something for the official rate, either based on movements in inflation industry indices or some sort of assessment of what you think a free market rate might be. Obviously, the difficulty of trying to do that would be, first of all, defining what the methodology would be for an adjustment, and secondly, determining what kind of circumstances you might apply it in. And also, I think you might have a concern about whether people might try and read that conclusion over to other circumstances where you've got market rates that aren't observed, or very thinly traded markets, and whether you're overriding.
It's pretty simple. The first question is, for application of a difference of a currency rate, is there a huge black market? If so, apply that rate. That would probably be the best solution to this problem.
Possibly a difficult thing to write into a standard.
I can do it right now.
So that's the one sort of newish piece of information which we think wasn't in the material you discussed about a year ago from the Korean Accounting Standards Board. So we think overall the information we've had from the agenda consultation really confirms your decision that you think you should remove it from the agenda. We think it may be worth looking at this narrow issue of the interaction of the hyperinflation with the exchange rate, if we would be able to scope it and come up with a methodology. I don't propose to ask you today whether we should look at that, but when we come back to the agenda consultation discussion on Thursday, we should think about whether we want to add a narrow scope project on that topic. Any questions or comments?
Thanks. Thank you. I do not disagree overall direction, because this is the consensus based on the agenda consultation. However, I think our IS21 has a significant flaw, because we have, in a sense, copied FAS 52, and which was American standard. And FAS 52 works well if your currency is US dollar, which is the key currency in the world. So therefore, it is okay for the United States, US GAAP, to have a FAS 52, but I don't think it is the case to the international accounting standard. Because there are more than 100 jurisdictions who do not have a currency which is key currency, so they have their own local currency, and then our functional currency criteria is fine if you judge it as a subsidiary, but if you try to judge what's the functional currency of parent company, I don't know whether our criteria works well. Because if you are a parent company, you have to have a responsibility to pay tax in local currency. And you have a responsibility to your shareholders. If the majority of the shareholder is a domestic shareholders, you have a responsibility to report your performance to the local currency basis. So therefore, even though your transaction is basically US dollar, because US dollar is a key currency, but you still have a responsibility to report with the local currency what is the performance to your major shareholders, and you have to pay the dividend with the local currency, and pay the tax with the local currency. And our IS21 do not include such kind of important element. And maybe in many jurisdictions, many constituents are frustrated with those kind of things. And of course, according to the agenda consultation, we didn't hear such a voices, because in many jurisdictions, they do not have time to respond to our agenda consultation, and they do not have staff people who really analyze it. So therefore, even though the agenda consultation's outcome is like this, we still think about what kind of improvement we can make. So I agree with some of the comment made in this paper that we have to keep it as a kind of aid memory, so that because when it comes to the big economical change, we need to address it. So therefore, for now, I think we can remove it from the agenda. I agree with it. However, we have to keep it in our mind, and we should be ready to come back as soon as possible.
We'll keep it in your mind for now and pick it up again.
But just to follow up on that, we had the discussion earlier this afternoon about making sure these things remain visible and retrievable. So we need to make sure we do that, I think, with all these research projects.
Yeah, okay.
Done and dusted for part two. Okay.